the mic with my boy Mark here. What's up?
Yeah, live, not live, but...
That's not how podcasts work.
Nope. We are on the same mic, so hopefully the audio levels are a little better.
As you turn away from the mic.
For episode 40.
To watch the
well,
NFL
we've
draft.
Got the TV on in the background, you know. It's not my job. I can do whatever I want at this point.
Good point. Not our job. Just a couple music bloggers.
Give us advertiser money, and I will not be watching the
holla,
NFL draft.
Holla. So yeah, we got a fun episode on deck. We're gonna talk about recent albums from Lizzo and the Pivot Gang. Ooh, my voice cracked. The Pivot Gang. Jesus. And then we got a great interview at the end of the episode with Fresh Prince, a rapper out of Winnipeg, Canada. So stick around for that at the end of the episode. We had a pretty good 15-20 minute combo with him. It was fun. Let's kick it off with some news and notes first, maybe. I spent all day Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, Tuesday, listening to Lemonade. Because it was released on all streaming services, and I was amped.
What a pleasant surprise. Just no announcement or anything. It just is up there.
I hopped into my Spotify app, and I was like,
just downloaded,
that's Beyonce.
Downloaded it immediately. Listened to it on the way to work. Listened to it a couple times at work. Listened to it on the way back.
Yeah, what a pleasant surprise.
Wonderful album.
That's the news. It's on. And she has a movie out, or a movie album. Yeah. If you will,
which
that we're going to talk about next episode.
We had to strike from the schedule this episode.
My fault. I've been busy.
The next episode is a film discussion episode.
Mm-hmm. Better than our Bohemian Rhapsody. I shouldn't say that was a good episode.
That was a good episode for a bad movie.
Yeah, bad movie.
It's going to be a good episode for two good things.
Yeah, I think so. Next up on news and notes. There is a new season of Dissect up on Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts, I guess. It is owned and operated by Spotify, but it's a music theory? Not really. They dissect music. It's quite literal. But the latest season is on Flower Boy, which is really dope.
That's cool. Yeah. I've never listened to the pod.
It's very good.
I don't know. The concept interests me, but not enough to actually follow through on listening to it, if that makes sense.
A little, I guess.
I do think that that seems like a good... my podcast schedule is just jam-packed. I can't fit another one in. But Flower Boy is there, from what I understand at the podcast, there is a lot going on in that album, and each track is pretty dense. And Tyler does a lot of his own like producing and stuff, and he's talked behind the scenes, not behind the scenes, but he's talked about kind of his behind the scenes work, writing music and his process on it. So that should be pretty interesting, actually. He's got a very interesting, like, how his mind works in regards to music. It's pretty cool.
I'm looking forward to listening. I'm just about done with season 3, which goes through Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
So over to the other, because the first one is... Beautiful Old Dark Twisted Fantasy, right?
First season is Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye.
Pimp a Butterfly?
Yes.
Okay.
Then To Pimp a Butterfly with Kendrick. Or I think those might be flipped. Season 1 might be Kendrick and season 2 is Kanye. Either way, they dissect a song every episode and go through a whole album, and it's pretty incredible how much work that dude puts in. He'll help you, like, I don't know, understand, like, why they use certain notes and, like, why it sounds in your brain the way it does and, like, why some things work well and don't. And then, like, all these, like, crazy references they make to songs from, like, fucking 50 years ago. It's really good. So, looking forward to that. Lastly, stan. Now a verb in the dictionary. You can stan something.
So
shout out Eminem!
Yeah, so that's, like, cool. I saw you put this on here, and I just like, what's like the dictionary model and the Merriam-Webster business model looking like in 2019? Is it just like adding a new word every month and putting out another edition so people have to buy it, or?
I think it's something similar to that. I think they add words every year.
Right.
I don't know if they do it every month.
Okay, so it's these, every year. So they're announcing, like, because I see this, like, a story like this all the time. So they have to be, like, announcing these, like, trickling out, and then it's like, get our new dictionary, including Stan and Yeet, yeah. Like, in stores. Yeah, in stores now. Well, big dictionary, just at it again.
Sorry, an Iowa tight end just got drafted in the top 10. That is fucking wild.
Corn boy.
Oh, the Lions fucking up. I don't really know what the process is, but, I mean, dictionaries are kind of irrelevant. Like, yeah. Anytime you misspell a word, you just Google it now and hope the autocorrect gets you close. You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, how do you spell Mississippi? Like, you just try to do it, and then you see what the...
Google, tells you without...
Or you can now speak it into your phone, so you don't even have to know how to spell it if you can say it. So, yeah, that was weird.
That's cool. I guess good for Eminem. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really care how he feels at this point.
All right,
good for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's just... Yeah,
he's just an angry man.
He's no longer
angry.
He got over to the dictionary. That's what he wanted.
Finally. What a career. Just a capper on it.
Marshall.
Can finally retire happy now that I have a word in the dictionary.
Jesus. He relapsed right into Merriam-Webster. That does it for news and notes. We're going to play a little pregame drinking game during the pod here to get us set up for the hot takes during the album segment. And this we're going to make up on the fly. This is a Spotify drinking game. We don't condone consuming alcohol in excess.
And
drive safely home.
Do so responsibly.
But here are the rules.
Yeah. Parody account, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Take Ubers and Lyfts.
Yeah. Alleged. Yeah.
We're going to each give each other a song from the interwebs. And we have to guess how many total streams that song has on Spotify. For every 500,000 we're off, that's one drink. This is going to be very difficult. I'm going to go first, and I'm going to let you guess, okay?
Okay.
EXO Tour Life by Uzi Vert.
Oh. I saw it. Oh.
Come on, this is bad radio.
It's like a billion, right?
It is a billion.
Yeah.
Right? Damn it. Yeah. All right. I'll drink because you were right. It's 1 billion.
Yeah. So you have 2 billion drinks then.
What?
For 500,000 each, right? Oh, it's more than that. You have to just finish all your beer now. Okay. Let's see what you think of boomer streaming habits.
Boomers.
To give you the classic Riders on the Storm by The Doors.
$100,000.
See, this is where the game, I think, gets interesting. Because it's $123 million.
Did that math wrong.
Yep.
In my head.
Yep.
100,000. Yeah. I meant 100 million. Oh, I'm drunk already. Oh, boy. Oh, how many is that? It's like 8.
It's a lot.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
We just exhibited just awful math skills there. So shout out that. They've got almost 7 million monthly listeners.
Good for them. Speaking of monthly listeners, that's my next question for you. How many monthly listeners do you think Shaq Diesel has? Come on. The Shaq. DJ Shaq.
I actually unfortunately looked at that.
What?
Dude, I don't remember it, but my brain is just like, it's broken.
You saw one of all lineup, you're like,
yeah, my
people
no,
to
it was before that. It was when his song with Lil Wayne came out.
Okay.
And it was a lot. Or not a lot, but more than it should be. It's 700,000?
381,000.
Yeah, that's so many people.
Just take like half a drink. You're not that far off.
That's so many people.
That's pretty good. That's a lot of people listening to Shaq. Like, that's a lot.
I say my brain is broken, but...
There are a lot of bands that we both listen to that are like below that number.
Yeah.
That I would consider like very, very good, very talented band.
Knox Fortune, like, one of my, like, favorite artists, like, consistently, like, 100,000.
Yeah. Shaq has three times that many people listening to him. That's crazy.
Oh, man.
People getting their Lala playlist set. All right, give me one more, and then let's wrap this up. Move on.
We
need to fine-tune the rules.
Yeah, this is... We're workshopping. Live on air.
It's Thursday night.
Oh, we're gonna go with... Have you heard of a guy named Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart?
Mozart?
Yeah, how many monthly listeners?
4 million.
Oh, nailed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Oh, take a drink.
All right. 4 mil and just about 6,000.
It's a lot of people listening when they're studying.
Yeah, I mean...
Or librarians.
That's what it is. Nobody...
Or elevators that are streaming music.
It's all that people and then just lonely Ben Shapiro listening it to it in earnest. Okay. moving on.
One political take per pod. All right. That does it for the Spotify drinking game. We're going to get into our album discussion now, the actual meat of this stupid, dumb podcast we do. First, we're going to talk about Lizzo. She released an album titled Cause I Love You. It's her major label debut album on Atlantic Records. But it comes with some complications, which I think we'll get into. If you don't know Lizzo, you may know her just from her voice. It's incredible. She's had two like pretty famous singles in like 2015, 2016. Her song My Skin back 2015, and then Good as Hell back in 2016, which is really just a empowerment banger. Where do you want to kick it off? deep sigh.
No, I'm trying to organize my thoughts.
Okay, let me go first then. It's to me, she is what she is. She's going to give you an album that is through and through, like, stricken with confidence, both like internal confidence and like portraying confidence, like being who you are. I don't want to say she became internet famous, but one of her like defining moments of her career was like 4 or 5 years ago. She was on an internet web series where she like basically stripped down to her bra and underwear and like one piece by one piece talk about like self-love and like empowerment, which is like great. She is a thick woman for those that don't know who she is. She's quite large and so is her voice. So like, I don't know, like, shout out her for kind of, like, delivering that message. And that comes through on the entire album.
Yeah,
sometimes it's a little corny, but, like,
yeah.
It is there. And I think part of that has to do with it coming from, like, a large commercial record, like, label. Like, they want everyone to feel that way. So, like, some of the songs, which we'll get into, are a little cheesy. And maybe I'm just not the target for some of this stuff, but...
Yeah, you're kind of... So, the album itself, I like a lot. I think after this, my piece, we're going to kind of veer in a different direction. But...
Sure.
So, I liked it a lot. It's a good album. I'm going to revisit it. The production is a lot of fun. It's, like, a lot of fun, bouncy pop songs that have kind of, like, a old school throwback on some.
It's very soulful.
Yeah, and she's got like an incredible voice, like you mentioned, and she flexes it constantly. The lyrics, though, in my opinion, are the weakest part of the album.
Yes.
And as you said, while they are very earnest and are coming from a good spot, they don't necessarily nail the balance between that and being just outright corny or cheesy, as you put it. You nailed it, and you said we're not the target audience. We're like two average looking white guys. And So I guess like so some of the like the positivity is good. That's like
yeah, it's good. Try to complain about
shout out to that. I guess it just like a lot of it just kind of doesn't land with me. And I yeah, we're like two guys that like gushed over like a couple weeks ago like an album called Morbid Stuff. So like once again, probably not the target audience. Yeah,
like we and are what we are.
Yeah, I'm keeping that in mind.
Music consumers.
And I, yeah, I like I can't change like what I like. But so it, I liked it. It sounds good.
Yeah.
It's and fun, it's fun to it listen to. Good, it just doesn't land personally with me. And I saw so many people raving about it on Twitter and like so many like big verified people are like, oh, I love this, and I was like, that's cool. I
so what I think works well, because I you can see both sides of that. It's not even an argument. It's just like a fact that like some of the they're it's not maybe it's not a fact, but the lyrics are the which I would say the weakest link of the album. However,
a lot of people are gonna say that's it's their favorite part though.
Yeah, but I think because they're so broad and vague and, like, kind of cliche that it, like, applies to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which, like, is fun. That's what makes pop music popular. Like, you, like, people make fun of male pop artists because they sing songs like, I love your hair, I love your hands, like, I love your eyes, like...
Yeah, this there's is just like I love like self love.
But yeah,
that's
and,
all that.
And so it is the opposite of that, yeah. And about like self love. But a lot of it isn't necessarily like personal stories, which like is what I like more, where it's like
right.
Story driven. But like again, that's typically like a deeper, more emotional state of songwriting and telling. Where like this is a little happier, it's poppier, it's like out there, it's soulful, like funky,
yeah,
it's loud. Yeah.
Which is not to...
It's not bad. Like,
yeah.
I like it. It's very good. It's just different.
And it's...
Not even different. It's good.
Because I do think it's still an emotional album, but it's not landing with us necessarily. And it's not to discount, like, the amount of work she put into it or, the emotions she felt in the studio and that she is connecting with other fans over.
Yeah.
But with criticism comes controversy in this case, I guess.
Yeah, you can
do
say
you
that.
Wanna,
let's get
do you have the tweet pulled up?
I do have the tweet. So if you've been not living under a rock for the last couple of days, you might have seen Lizzo tweet or the Backlash Tour tweet about music journalists and critics. And this is to say, the majority of people really like this album, including the both of us.
Yes.
We are not
because, so
critical
I,
of this.
So, real, more often than not, it, like, the earnestness, which, like, teeters between that and corny, almost, when it does work, it works in favor of her because it's so earnest.
Yeah.
And it's this, like, weird thing, and then, but occasionally it tips the wrong way.
Yeah. So, most people like it, including ourselves, but she did tweet out the other day, and I quote, people who review albums and don't make music themselves should be unemployed.
This was the same day, same morning, I believe, yeah. That the Pitchfork review went up, which was...
6.5,
but if you read the review...
It's very glowing.
Yeah.
It's a glowing review.
It's well thought out. It's even keeled. They don't personally attack her in any way. It's very well thought out.
It's a good review.
And the committee score, which is how Pitchfork, it's the staff, is averaged out, and that's the number up there. And then one writer is selected to write the review. And they're not tasked with
a review that fits the score.
No, they're not tasked with that. She must have just looked at the number, right?
I don't disagree, probably.
But
6.5 is positive. That's the other thing. That's not in the wrong
direction. Yeah, for Pitchfork, that's like, for if you're like a major pop album and you they give it a 6.5, it's just like, all right, carry on.
So yeah, a couple takes. Pop music is incredibly difficult, in my opinion, to grade on like a review scale, because it's frequently just made to be popular. Like it's not meant to be like critically acclaimed. Generally speaking, there are a few artists that do it really well. Lorde, Beyonce,
yes,
like Adele, like it. That there are some people that can make like incredibly well thought out albums that are pop music based. But most of the time, it's like, they're like manufactured to be popular.
Yeah, you've got like so many hands on it that it just like loses any sense of identity. Yes. I don't think that's the case here.
No. But like in general, it's hard.
Yeah.
And my other take I want to say is that for an album and a person that has pretty much made her fame about self-love and not giving a fuck, what the shit is this?
Yes.
Like,
so
now you're gonna get pissed off.
I don't think.
What the fuck's your deal?
I don't think her responding to her like a negative review is bad, because we've like laughed and joked about like other artists doing the same, like support of them, and that's funny. And having like that dialogue is not a bad thing.
No.
But in this case,
it's weird. It's out of place.
Very much contradicts the whole message of the album. Like, it just kind of shatters, for me at least, it shatters that, like, image of, like, self-confidence, like, very quickly.
Is what you're doing on the album of a facade to make money?
Like, especially if you read the review and then she got mad about that.
It
doesn't tarnish my enjoyment of the album at all.
No.
But it is like very strange to me. Plus, just like the take itself is like bad on so many levels. It's like that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Like, okay, you can apply the same thing. If you don't cook food, you don't get to say food is bad when you go out to dinner.
Like, what is
the? If you're not a filmmaker, you can't go to a movie.
What is the gatekeeping there then? It's like, you need 50 million Spotify streams to talk about my song. I'm like,
so fucking stupid. Well, then she kind of walked it back.
Yeah, I think she realized.
She walked it back and said it was like an open invitation for any music journalist to sit in the studio because she wants to see what their world is like. And it's like, fuck off. You already like said what you wanted. Now you're trying to PR massage this. So that was kind of annoying. But other artists kind of got in on this. Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber were kind of in a riff with some person named Megan Stewart, who is famous.
Influencer.
I don't know who she is.
Was she in the Firefest docs?
She might have been in the Firefest docs. But Ariana said, one day everyone that works at all them blogs will realize how unfulfilled they are and purposeless what they're doing is, and hopefully shift their focus elsewhere. That's going to be a beautiful ass day.
Wasn't there another somewhere in that thread she said you're going to feel litty inside?
Yeah. Well, the end is I can't wait for them to feel lit inside.
I hate that.
I extracted that from
I hate that so much.
Yeah, that was tough. So Ariana and Biebs also got in on this.
It's a good thing we're a podcast and not a blog.
You know what, though? Who knew that the biggest enemy of journalism would be pop stars and the president?
Oh, yeah. That's the new Avengers. Donald Trump is...
We need Trump Ariana Grande 2020. That ticket. So a couple people were attacking music journalists. And then our Lord and Savior, our blogging and podcasting Lord and Savior, Diplo himself, tweeted, music journalists gotta eat too, even if they don't like our music. We need critics.
It's a surprisingly even-keeled take from him.
Yeah. Especially coming from a genre that, like, most people shit on.
Oh, well, yeah, that's probably it. He's just, like, used to it.
Yeah, he's like, hey, like, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah,
they make fun of me all the time.
Yeah, like, doesn't take my money away. Yeah.
Yeah, very weird. So, let's move beyond. I think we've got our piece off on that. Maybe get back to the album itself. Any other takes? Thing you want to talk about? Because I do, most of this is, I wouldn't say that our discussion so far has been negative, but it has been more like about the
Well, that's why I wanted to give my overall take on it, because that is positive, and I do like the album. One thing I do like is the limited amount of features, which is that's a good like debut album move. Two features on 11 songs, and so it just like lets her flex her like, you know, like vocals, like singing and rapping.
Yeah, so
I think it's a very smart move.
Yeah, Missy Elliott was on a song, so was Gucci Mane, which are fun. Mm-hmm. Both of them were fun features. And to your point, she really does showcase her voice and herself. She's called herself like the Aretha Franklin of like 2018. Well, that's what she wants to be, like the 2010s.
Yeah.
Well, like you can feel that in her voice. Like she could really like
ballad.
Like she can shred a microphone. So shout out her. I just have one take I want to, not even a take, just one thing I want to get off before we move into our next album discussion here is the song Exactly How I Feel. The song with Gucci Mane, actually, it's a stinker. And in my opinion, Gucci Mane's fine. The song's a stinker. You want to know why? It sounds like the Cha-Cha Slide.
Oh.
Dude, the beats are just like three claps. And it makes you feel like I'm in middle school.
You're not wrong.
Dude, I felt like someone just like, to the light now, yo.
That's
exactly how I felt the whole fucking time I listened to it.
But if there was a version of the Cha-Cha Slide.
With Gucci Mane on
it. Yes. To the left. Whop!
I mean, yeah, I guess.
I don't hate it.
I thought it was hey, shout out hate. At Gucci Mane, please make this. Credit earbuds. All right, but in general, go listen to Lizzo. It is a good album. It just, look up the other stuff, but it's kind of funny. Yeah, we're going to take a quick commercial break here as we head into our next album.
Disappear like a post on Tumblr, up and disappear like Samantha Mumba, up and disappear like gas in a Hummer. I don't got her number, I don't got her number. Her tongue got me stuck, call it dumb and dumber. Never gave no fuck, staring like a cuck. Gang in this like Wolfgang Puck. Niggas moving snow like SSX Tricky. I don't fuck with rats, so I don't watch Disney. Steady talking shit, that's how you come up missing. We the bad boys like Detroit Pistons. Brand new Benz, that bitch gon' pew, 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 pew. Yo, we think that I'm so cute, 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 cute. Push back on it like a Q-tip, go Q-tip. Disappear like when my roofer do roofer.
We're back. What you just heard was the chorus master, Smino himself, coming in with, "Your bitch thinks that I'm cute, 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 cute." And that's Bad Boys by Pivot Gang, our second album we're going to talk about today.
Yes. The album titled You Can't Sit With Us. Pivot Gang, we've definitely talked about it before.
We've talked to them before. But quick, new listeners.
Quick refresher. Yeah. Basically Saba and all his friends.
Yes.
So they are also very aware of how one might describe Pivot Gang, and that's why Saba is the only one on every track.
Yep. That's, I think, what my first thing I want to talk about is. So to Mark's point, they're a rap collective out of the west side of Chicago. Saba, who we've talked about before, had one of our favorite records of last year and one of our favorite albums of 2016, too, with Bucket List Project. And then kind of all the other guys who are attempting to make... I shouldn't even say attempting to make their come up. Like, they're just...
They're on the Chicago scene.
Yeah, they're
for
on
sure.
The Chicago scene.
So Joseph Chilliams, MF and Mello, Freshwaters, Squeak, and Day-Day are, I think, the main players at work here. Joseph Chilliams, Saba's brother.
Yes.
Many people don't know this.
Many people don't know this. And RIP Walt, who is Joseph Chilliams and Saba's cousin, who passed away about 2 years ago, and is a pretty big influence on Saba's project from last year.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to... We'll get into the album eventually.
Yeah, whatever.
I was listening to Stony off of Bucket List Project today. He talks about Walt, like, throughout the song. I was like, Jesus Christ, this is sad. Listen, like, it's, like, such a fun summer song, but it's, like, in retrospect, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's tough. No, yeah. So, yeah, what I first want to discuss is who shines the brightest on this album, because, I mean, to be frank, most of these guys are on the Chicago scene. You see them pop in and out of local venues. We always see them on kind of the set rotation for some of our favorite venues. But I don't really like listen to a lot of them, only when they feature on Saba tracks, essentially. So, like, having them all on one record, kind of what was your takeaway from listening to letting these other guys take a bigger front?
Yeah, so... Like, the album, to me, just seems like they were just kind of hanging out and made this. Which, yeah. They had a AMA on Reddit and basically confirmed that.
It was a good AMA. It was
very funny. But, so it's a lot of... It seems like there's so many pop culture references, and they're kind of like trying to top each other almost. And Joseph Chilliams, by far, has the funniest, like, consistently.
So that was my biggest takeaway is, Chilliams, to me, really was the... He's on the most tracks, other than Saba.
Yeah.
He's on there a lot. And he's either got the first or second verse, or he's driving the chorus, and he really came through. Like, it was a good project for, I think, him to kind of, like, step in, and based on the AMA, he's next up on the single,
okay,
the solo record track. So hopefully that comes out soon, and we can, you know, dip our toes in there. Yeah, that's kind of my two cents.
So jumping off of that, do you have any, like, because this is largely just like a fun kind of... I saw the AV Club described it as low stakes, and not in a bad way, but it's just like a fun, like, you put it on, like, run it through. So do you have, like, a favorite, like, kind of reference that popped out to you, or like a song in general?
I do,
because this is going back to our old format of when we didn't really know what we were talking about, but this is a perfect album to dive back into that.
Yeah, I think so. And for as heavy and as sad as Saba's project was last year, which is very, very good. Like, one of the best records I've heard
Listen
in a few
it.
Years. This album is not nearly as heavy or dark or twisted. It's, like, to your point,
yeah,
fun. It seems like they're in the studio together, and they're just like, oh, cool, that's a funny verse. Like, let's all, like, hop in the studio.
Yeah.
So to that, my favorite is Joseph Chilliams on Death Row, where he makes a couple lines here that I want to say out loud. About to bubble like Kim Kardashian, sleeping on me is like fucking an assassin. And then, like an energy drink, we end up crashing. You don't need to hide like no Alaskans. That's really funny. And then he ends, or in the middle of, actually there's a lot here, now that I'm like reading through it on Genius. Then my next favorite would be Game of Thrones, where he does say, slaughter everything like the Mad King. Let's go! What we needed was a sample. Thrones.
They don't have the HBO money.
You just steal it. Who cares?
That's fair. Oh, let's talk. Okay, sorry, let's talk for 30 minutes about Game of Thrones theories, man.
Segway. Now you're in a Game of Thrones pod. Yeah. So I think Chilliams really rises to the top. I just kind of like went through part of his verse on Death Row. He's really great. The next song on that album is Colbert. And he really crushes the chorus. The chorus on Colbert is very fun. It's like about FaceTiming a girl and just like being amazed at how beautiful she is. And just like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I would stay up all night. Like, Colbert, it's good. I liked it a lot. I'm gonna take a flight from O'Hare. It's so good.
There's a lot of like goofy, just like fun. Like, take a listen to Edward Scissorhands. I'll let you figure out what the song's about.
that's something.
So let's touch on the features real quick, because I think outside of the Joseph Chilliams, he's got a couple that I really liked, including the ones you listed. But so Mick Jenkins and Smino are the two big like rap features that stand out, and Kerry Foe on Mortal Kombat. But so Mick Jenkins just dropping bombs all over Waiters Island. He says, they say they Curry, they say they Ron Artest, they really shoot like Dion Waiters. It's a mess.
I love Dion, though.
That's so good. Like, it's so funny. It's just like rapping just like a two-line like NBA reference around like three players. That's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
And it's Dion Waiters who...
Good stuff.
He's tapped into NBA Twitter. He knows that, like, that'll get like a rise out of people.
Yeah, and they kept it kind of, to your point, there's only three features, four features. They kept it within the fam, like they already had a collab album of six people. Like, there's really no reason to have any features. Like, you can rotate guys in and out and have a song sound very differently. But they did bring in a couple people, and I found that interesting. They kept it within the fam. The Smino chorus is very
like,
funny.
It doesn't even highlight
his... He's a very good singer and rapper.
Yeah.
He just basically...
Just makes noises with his mouth.
Just makes noises.
It's very funny.
It's very funny. The best one of the three to me is Kari Foe.
Yeah.
Like, she crushes the third verse on Mortal Kombat. And that was the biggest surprise to me. Was like, that really rocked.
Yeah, like, to your point, the features they did bring in are, like, you can find previous collaborations with those three, like, all over.
Yeah.
So they kept it very in-house, very Chicago.
They did keep it in-house in Chicago, and what I want to talk about next is for how much Saba appears on this album. I found it very interesting that he is, because he was a part of the J. Cole like Dreamville recording sessions, which like had to have been during the
Smino was too.
Yeah, but like,
what did
know.
Something come out of that?
Not yet.
They did like the show. Right?
They did the show or the festival, whatever it was. But no, nothing else has been released as of yet.
Okay.
But it seemed, I don't know, but again, like, I'm not in, I don't know if they, like, flew Saba out for, like, a day or two. Like, he was just there.
In L.A. or?
No, it must have been in North Carolina. That's where.
Because they said in the AMA that they recorded this in L.A.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah, I don't know. That was just interesting to me. Given like how much it seemed that he was like involved or like around those guys.
Yeah, that's
interesting. You know, because he's very talented, and I imagine he would want to be around all those other really talented artists to kind of like be a part of their creative session, especially J. Cole. Like, as much as we shit on J. Cole, he is very influential, and he's got his like, he does produce every album by himself, so like that is impressive. And I imagine you'd want to like...
Yeah, he went triple platinum with no features.
Shut the fuck up. You know, I'd imagine you'd want to, like, soak up some of that, like, artistic...
Sure, yeah. I do, I don't know.
Maybe I'm just, like,
I think this is more of, like, they just, like, wanted to...
In the AMA, though, they did say they recorded it, like, 8 days.
Yeah. They kicked it, like, wanted to have some fun. And it, like, turned out, like...
Mayhaps.
It's good stuff. They had some fun, and it's very fun to listen to. I don't know if in 6 months I'll go back and run through the whole thing again, but there'll be definitely like four or five songs that I pick off here that will be in like my rotation consistently.
Yeah,
from here on out.
Yeah, I would agree. As of right now, it's my favorite album of the year.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Front to back. But I also, I haven't felt anything this year that has made me like, transcended me to anything. Like
Lizzo didn't do it for you.
No, didn't do it for me. Maybe it will though. I've been eating a fucking ton in the last like week.
Cut that.
I don't know, man. That's all I got.
Yeah, I don't have much more. Okay. I really enjoyed both these albums, and I'm assuming most people have listened to Lizzo. But definitely take a listen to You Can't Sit With Us by the Pivot Gang, because it's delightful.
It is delightful. Shout out Chicago. That does it for our album discussions. Stick around. Up next is our interview with Fresh Prince. You can find his latest single, Reminder, on Spotify's Fresh Finds
Fire banger.
Emoji playlist. It is, in fact, a fucking banger.
All right, we are on the line with Javon Gabriel, or better known by his stage name, Fresh Prince. What's going on, my man?
Hey, what going on? What going on? Just chilling.
Happy Earth Day.
Hey, happy Earth Day, man. Glad to be here.
Mark, what's going on with you?
Not much. Just, you know, got done watching some David Attenborough narrate Glaciers. Just great Earth Day stuff.
It's a hella good Monday night. What do you have going on, Fresh Prince? How the moniker, let's start there. How did you come up with the name?
The name came about grade 9 in high school. A buddy that I met back in the day, he came up to me randomly in the hallway, and he was like, hey man, like, I rap. But what started the conversation, we were actually wearing like the same Jesus piece, like Goodwood was popping back then. So he was like, man, like I could kind of tell the genre of stuff you were into. And he's like, I got a studio. So after school that day, we jumped out, we went to his studio, we laid down a couple tracks. Then he left me with his homie. So we're all like kind of putting the things together, you know, like bouncing the track and whatever. And he's like, well, what do I call this? And I was like, just, you know, put some numbers on it, send it to him, let him figure it out. And then the next session we had when we opened the file, it was just already there, kind of like Fresh Prince set like that. So,
wow, that's a crazy story.
Yeah.
You didn't want to go by like FileZilla 1234?
No, like I wasn't even really expecting to get a name out of it, you know, and it was kind of at the moment I just thought like, hey, I can't think of anything else. He had a decent reason for it, so I was like, it kind of fits.
That rocks.
So you talked a little bit about kind of your initial songwriting or creative process back then. Has that evolved in any ways, or is that pretty consistent, or do you kind of mix it up for each song?
It's definitely evolved, but for each song, I think the process can change. For back in the day, definitely it would be more of like everyone comes to the studio, you know, like drinking, smoking, and someone puts on a beat. And if you hear something, you kind of like run into the booth and cut it in, you know? Whereas now it's like a kind of like more calmer environments, like dim light or like candles, something like that. Or I like to be like, I like to eat before I go into my studios, you know, have a lot of water. It's definitely changed a lot.
Yeah, I imagine it's a little bit more structured and formal now.
Yeah.
Once it turns from a hobby to a career.
I guess, yeah, that's when the differences start, because you start taking, I guess, a little more serious, too.
So how long have you been recording and putting out music?
For about 5-6 years now.
Okay. And how's that, the scene out in Winnipeg? I guess we probably should give a little background on you prior to maybe hopping in more of this stuff. You can find Fresh Prince's latest single, Reminder, out on the Fresh Finds Fire Emoji Spotify playlist. It's kind of where Mark and I uncovered you, and we're like, oh, damn, this is pretty dope.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
That's a blessed.
And then we followed you on Instagram, and all of a sudden I was like, oh damn, that's let's get it going.
That was blessed though.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, sometimes it just works out that way, and it's kind of like such an interesting way like the streaming industry has changed.
I guess how it works and stuff now, yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess like, so Mark and I are from Chicago, and like the hip hop community is like very rooted in this city. So what is Winnipeg like in the hip hop space?
Winnipeg, it's a little weird. Like, you can almost not call it a hip hop space and just like a music space in general, because everyone kind of does their own thing. But more deeply rooted, I guess, into the hip hop community, it's kind of like everyone's coming together now to do their own thing, because we kind of finally have our hip hop artists and our rappers actually like touring Europe now and like going out to like Japan and stuff like that and doing things kind of like following suit of what Toronto is doing. But for the most part, it's kind of like everyone still's got their own team. Like, so-and-so has so-and-so handling his shows, and if you're not with that guy getting the shows, then you're not really getting the shows, you know?
Okay.
But like, so,
go ahead.
But like, for the most part, yeah, everyone's like cool with each other. Everyone like links up. We do music and stuff when we can. But aside from that, everyone's kind of just doing their own thing.
So you were mentioning that you're kind of have an off day every 10 days or so. So what do you have going on now?
Right now, I'm just getting ready for the next release. We were supposed to have it on Spotify, but we had some issues with the mix. We wanted to get it fine-tuned a little bit. We wanted to do a double release this month because I felt like after the drop of Reminder, I kind of just want to continue what was going there. So I figured the double release would definitely be the way to go.
Yeah, I'm sure you catch a little bit of momentum once you land on one or two playlists, right?
Yeah.
Are you building up to an album release soon, or?
I don't know. I always get asked about the album, but like, I was talking to this one dude. I can't remember what company he worked for, and he was like, "Man, like, if you go about your releases logically, like, you can do more with this single than your album can reach. Like, you can make sure a single can reach the proper listeners and the people it needs to reach compared to an album. In your opinion, you could have like track number 3 could be like the most flame track in your opinion, right? Sure. But it could be like track number 5 where you just kind of like, you know, it's nonsense and stuff, and that's like the most popping one.
Yeah, so it kind of, yeah, it goes back to just the streaming age is so different now. You gotta, it's very different. You gotta play it smart. That makes sense.
That's, yeah. So, like, for me, I was like, well, I don't want to put out a full body of work and, you know, put everything into it, and it's only, like, one or two songs that's kind of doing what I expected. So I figured I'd just kind of do my singles and have everything properly mapped out, get my features going, and then, like, when the time is finally right, then I'll give a body of work.
All right. So, yeah, you were talking about kind of tailoring your songs, individual releases, sort of. So how'd you go about getting Reminder on sort of Spotify editorial playlists like that? Can you give us a kind of a background of how that works? Or
honestly, for most playlists, like, it's kind of just natural. Like, I have my email list and, you know, my group of friends and people who are like, you know, like you call like pen pals or whatever that I talk about here and there. And other than that, like, we just all came out at once with the push. The numbers kept going. It kept, we're doing like maybe like 2,000 plays a day to start. And then playlists just started coming in. And like, by the end of the month, it was already like 100 playlists strong. And it was just, they just kept rolling in.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's probably cool to see those numbers tick up that quick.
Definitely. I was in a shock for me, because that was beyond my expectations. I was sitting there and I was like, if I get like 5,000 streams, like, I'm good with this for the year on to the next one, you know?
All right. We're going to want to dip into some a little looser questions. Nick, do you have any?
No, you go first, homie.
All right. So, jumping off the Fresh Prince moniker, we've got to ask it. Do you have a favorite Will Smith movie?
Oh, shit. Without, like, giving it too much thought, I would say I, Robot, because I feel like that definitely,
hell yeah,
what it was at that time, like, that was the shit, you know? But other than that, I can't think of anything off the top right now either.
I mean, that's a good one. Can't fault you for that.
That movie scared the shit out of me when I was, like, 9 or 10 years old.
I remember that. And then they had those little, like, toy electronic dogs coming out. They was, like, trying to go everything, yeah, like, futuristic.
One of Shia LaBeouf's underrated roles.
True.
He gets murked at the end of that movie. Mark, what else you got? Fire away.
Hey, man, we're reading off the same list.
I'm pretending like we're not.
Behind the scenes look. Pivoting back to music real quick. Do you have a dream producer you'd like to work for, or just like a beat you'd want to hop on?
Oh, shit. If I had to go with a dream producer, it'd definitely either be like Timbaland or Pharrell, I think.
Alright, oh, yeah. That 4-beat intro.
Well, like, I don't know, just like Pharrell, because like the Neptune sound that was there, and then Timbaland's because like all the things that he's kind of done production wise, just not even in Canada, but for the industry as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, that's two very like versatile producers, so you can go a lot of directions with those guys.
That's
we'll,
true.
We'll tag them, give them a shout out. Try and get it rolling.
I mean, kind of to that point, do you have like a go-to guy that you currently or work with, or like how do you put your beats and you know, like lyrics down?
For the most part right now, it's like a lot of my homies produce. Okay. And aside from the homies, like I'm always online searching for producers. Like if I'm on YouTube and I hear some shit that's hot, like if you go through any of the comments, you'll probably see like me commenting like, yo, like DM me, like where's the rights for this? How do I purchase this? Like, you know, so I'm always just hunting for new people to work with.
What's the most you've ever paid for a beat, if you're willing to share? Now I'm curious.
I'd say $350.
Okay.
And that was just be like for X amount of streams, and then at that point to renew it.
Okay. Fair enough. How do you, I mean, I guess when it makes like, when it comes to the streaming sound, is there anything specific you're going for, or is it kind of just like finding a hot beat and just like whatever comes to mind to lay down a verse? Or do you write your lyrics and things that come to mind and then like try to find a fire beat to kind of like lay those two into together?
For me, it's usually like I sit down and I'll like kind of go through a list of beats, and it's like I don't really know what I'm looking for. It's just like I get this feeling, and then like I'll think of like a freestyle, like a first bar or something, or like a hook idea or a melody, and I'll just run it from there.
Okay. So I say Arise and Reminder are definitely different songs, but they have a very similar, like, I don't really know if I could put my finger on it. It's not like grimy or ominous, but it's like a little bit like old Odd Future sounding to me. Maybe that's like a crazy comparison.
I can fuck with that though.
Yeah, like it's a little bit like darker, like really heavy beats. I don't know, just my two cents.
That's kind of like what I like to go for with my music, I guess. It's more like a dark, eerie sound. Like, mm-hmm. you might hear me on like a pop beat here or there or something that's like really happy, but for the most part, it's going to be like those dark drums and those like weird sounds in the background.
Just don't berate us on the internet like Lizzo did today to a bunch of other music critics. Did you see that?
What happened?
So Lizzo released an album like Friday or something, and she's gotten like really good reviews. It's like 80% of the people like it. One guy came out with like a mixed review, and then she tweeted out like in all caps, like, if you don't make music yourself, like you can fuck off, basically.
Oh god.
Yeah.
No, I never come at anyone like that.
It's the Canada nice, right?
Yeah, we love everyone over here. Come hug some trees with us.
Yeah, I mean, do you have anything else you want to get out there? I think we're towards the end of our question list, but we'll give you the floor to close it.
As in, like, what sense? Like,
just anything you feel like you just kind of want to, like, broadcast or let people know about yourself before we hop off?
Well, if you guys do want to catch up with me, Fresh Prince, PHRE$HPRINCE. You can find me on Spotify. That's where I'll be mostly uploading and distributing, and also iTunes, SoundCloud, all that jazz. At FreshPrince204 without the $ for all social media. Yeah, man, I guess that's about it. Stay tuned for the Reminder music video. We're still just wrapping that up, but we'll have that definitely ready soon.
Cool. And for any of our followers as well, go follow them on social and Spotify. We'll keep reposting as well. So thanks for coming on. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Big fan of the song so far. Thanks,
man. Pardon?
I said big fan of the song so far. Thanks, man.
Awesome. Much love, my G.